Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hunger and thirst, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. God has already added a blessing to the reading of his word, because forever is his word blessed, and they that take heed to God's word shall experience perpetual success. I've read for your listening consideration and your soul's inspiration the 107th division of Psalms, saying to give thanks unto the Lord, because he is good and his mercy is everlasting. And there was ever a time in mankind's existence that he needed the blessed assurance that God's mercy is perpetual and everlasting. That time is now. And we're so thankful for the presence of the Lord intervening on our behalf. We're so thankful for the very hand of God moving in our favor in a divine and positive way. And you're blessed to be here. Yes, you are. On this glorious and victorious Sunday morning, it is June the 7th, 2020. You've tuned in to the Manna of Restoration, God's design plan to accelerate his presence and to motivate those who have fallen by the wayside and to strengthen those who are continuing to fight the good fight of faith. And let me tell you something, God is doing the miraculous. He's doing the impossible in this very hour. So many of you have emailed me and communicated with me about the powerful presentation of last Sunday addressing racism and how we have to become aggressive to deal with this lethal Leviathan. That's right. So the scripture tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes we got to gain the momentum to grasp those strongholds. That's right. We got to cast down those imaginations that attempt to exalt itself above God and to manipulate the very society itself. We got to sometimes go into that parallel of warfare. That's right. That's right. And to bring into subjection every thought, every action unto the will of God, that we may prove what is acceptable and his holy will. And the power of God's presence tells us that brotherly love must continue. And amen. And that he that even hates his brother, 1 John 3:15, I know you all remember that scripture. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. You know, God doesn't care for murderers. God does not give acceleration, give favor to murderers. Murderers are deemed as infidels in the kingdom of God. That's right. Yes, God will forgive the offense, but the offender, when they know what they do is wrong and they profess Jesus and profess Christianity and profess to have a relationship with God, this is not favorable in his eyes. And this is the reason why racism is a form of murder. It's a murder of the individual whom is carrying this hatred, this malice, this fear. That's right. This inadequacy within them. You're killing yourself in the attempt of killing someone else because of their difference. And God loves diversity. He loves differences. He celebrates the differences within each and every one of us. This is why God imputes various spiritual gifts within each and every one of us. Why? Because the whole body can't be an eye. That's right. The whole body can't be a nose. Because if the body were an entire nose, how would one eat? How would one touch? How would one provide the capacity of mobility? So the body has different members. And this is another thing that supports scriptural evidence that God detests racism. God celebrates diversity and differentiation. Why? This is why we have physical bodies. This is the validation of proof that we need everything in our bodies, every member, every digit, every capacity, every elementation within our physiological cells in order to operate day-to-day obligations. God made us to be diverse beings. And it seems that the diversity is celebrated by God. Who else can de-accelerate what God celebrates? There is no way possible. And so this is the reason why we are building our foundation upon the sureness and the blessed assuredness of truth. Because truth will endure when everything else goes under and collapses. The truth will remain apparent and evident. And God is love. He is love. He is peace. He is joy. He is all the wonderful things in this life. And this is a beautiful life. With all the challenges, the hardships, the confrontations, let me tell you something. When you know God, I'm speaking to you out there in listening land. It doesn't matter whether you're in America, North America, Canada, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia. You could even be in Antarctica or in Africa. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. There is freedom there. The same God that worketh miracles in North America is the same God that's present and prevalent in North Africa. The same God that worketh miracles in North America and North Africa worketh miracles in Europe, in Australia. That's right. In Asia, in Southeast Asia, it doesn't matter. Geographical specifications do not limit God. The scripture tells us that God is a spirit. Spirits are boundless, but he's the sovereign spirit because he rules. He created. He's masterful. He's sovereign. That means that he's second to none and first to all. And they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and truth. And knowing that he is the three O's, you all should remember this. He's omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing. There's nothing hidden from him. And omnipresent at every place, at every given time. So understanding these factors is be relevant and true. When we walk in the truth, we walk in his enlightenment. We experience his greatness, his height, his depth, his width, his breadth, because he is a God that pronounces and validates himself to those who love him and who trust him. And we just thank God today for his truth. For his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And sometimes in our pathway, we have to be confrontational. Again, take on areas that need to be addressed. And just thank God that you all that listened last week received information. So many even shared with me that they didn't know that all of these occurrences happened to these various individuals. And I wasn't presenting this information to make a grandiose impression upon you that I'm so knowledgeable and so capable. It was the fact that I needed to bring forth sound bearings, evidences of things that happened that were atrocious, that caused havoc and destruction and decimation, further decimation within the African-American community and spread abroad. So these things had to be told. These people's names had to be held into community remembrance so that we don't forget that these individuals paid a price of a far more detrimental than what they ever could have imagined. And as a result, their families were left to grieve as a result of their departure. And no family should ever have to grieve and be supplanted with the immense sorrow that these families experience. And those of you who are prayer warriors, you need to lift up a word of prayer for all of the families, not only of those that I mentioned last week, the 25 little examples of African Americans who were slaughtered for no apparent reason, but for those who have also experienced the same degree and dexterity of hardship. We should hold their families in prayer and to ask that God hold them up and to pray for the illness in this society, the stench of sin. Sin has consequences. That's right. Whether that sin is hatred, hatred can result into murder. Again, you know God despises murderers. He doesn't look favorably upon them at all, because one of his chief commandments was that thou shalt not kill. That's right. When you kill, you're taking life into your own hands. You can't take anybody's life in your own hands because you didn't create him. You didn't create her. God is the master of all life, and he is the only one that holds the authoritative measure to speak departure to that person. You don't, and when you commit murder, you're trying to take God's place. Only an infidel and an idiot would do that. No. This is not acceptable in the eyes of God. And we need to, as leaders, as congregants, as believers, as true followers, as disciples, need to get the word out and stop sitting on the sidelines and observing everyone else, because you're going to be held accountable for what you didn't do and what you did do. And I'd rather be held accountable for what I did as opposed to what I didn't do. Anyone who would exercise the power of wisdom would want to do that. We got to get up and get out about our Father's business, to preach love and to teach love unto the society in which we exist. We have to exhort and exalt the power of God through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, to erase the maledictive behaviors and ill-gotten practices that mankind has preoccupied himself with. We have to teach repentance. We have to teach forgiveness. We have to teach the truth that you must follow in the way of righteousness to receive the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. These are the elements in which we must do as believers. That's right. We are charged with this charge. And this is a charge that each and every one of us may keep, and we must keep in order to please God. Because when we please God, he will allow pleasure to come upon us and in our lives. For Jesus told us in his word, he says, I came that ye may have life, and that more abundantly. Who would want an abundant life? Abundance means perpetual prosperity, along with perpetual prosperity, health, happiness, fulfillment, completion. That's right. Well, Jesus said, thy kingdom come. We're waiting on the second kingdom to come, New Jerusalem, yes. But until then, his kingdom has already came. Christ was the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. And he even spake and said that all power given and the heaven and the earth is in my hands. So that means the kingdom came. Do we receive the fullness of the kingdom? That is up to each and every one of us. And Jesus gave us another personal revelation. According to your faith, be it unto you. Everybody's level of faith is different. But however, how you perceive, how you concentrate your area of confidence in God and his divine ability to do that which is impossible, it's going to impact you in your life. Some believe God is able to do exceeding abundantly, and the scripture tells us about what we're able to ask and even think. And they believe God for a mansion. Well, you know what? You provide the faith of a mustard seed. You can look at that mountain and say, mountain, be thou removed. And you trust God, you can receive that mansion. Some people have faith enough to say, okay, I just want to be able to own my own condo. Well, according to your faith, with your concentration and your confidence is in God, be it unto you. But it's according to what you believe. I can't make you believe anything. No man can make you believe anything. No individual can give you the wherewithal and the answer key to everything. You've got to trust God on your own. This is how we are promoted. We're exalted from grace to grace, from faith to faith. And the more that we concentrate, the more that we stimulate, the further we go and the further we grow. This is the reason why we have to walk in a spirit of obedience, because it's better to obey than to sacrifice. You can give all of your goods over to people who are in need and necessity, but if you don't have faith, you don't have faith in God, and along with your faith comes your works, they coincide together. They're allies, they're partners together to validate the presence of God in your life, because what you say is very important, but how you say it and the way it manifests in your life is far more even impressive. And I don't understand the way that some individuals can walk about and say that they trust God, they believe God, and love God, and they're living like the world. They're acting like the world. And they're treating the very affairs of their life like the world. Jesus told us, love not the world, nor the things that are in it. Why? Behold, the world passes away. Because it's unstable. The instability factor is present and prevalent within the societal settings of the world. But when you have Christ in your life, within your spirit, you're able to make sanity out of the madness. You're able to bring balance out of the inequilibrium. You're able to see a projection, a vision come to pass because you are having the power of the Holy Spirit to give you foresight as well as insight. And not only to what the present situation is, but what the futuristic projections will look like and will manifest into. And we just thank God for that word of knowledge today, saying it's time to get up, get out, and prove God in your life. And when you prove God in your life, he will prove himself in your life as well. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship to come to your people to speak a word of knowledge, to speak a word of wisdom, so that they will be inspired to follow you, to seek you, to desire you, not for just one time only, but perpetually. For Lord, you said in your word, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're asking that you fill every cup today that is longing for your presence, that is desirous of your power, that is standing in the need of a miraculous breakthrough, whether that breakthrough is of a financial nature, Lord, whether it's of a healing in their body, whether there's a healing in their family, whether it's a job situation or circumstances seems to be too large for them to overcome. Jesus, you told us in your word that you are the victory that overcometh this world, even our faith. We're asking that you open up the gates of heaven and let the power of thy blessed anointing flow. For we know it is the anointing of God that bringeth the yoke, that maketh the miracles happen. Let the miracles take place as we speak. And Father God, we just thank you for being God, our Lord, our God, and beside you there is none other. For Lord, you, in your own loving kindness, you so loved us that you gave us your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that means a life that keeps on living and the power of God that just keeps on giving. And we thank you, Father God, for this time of fellowship in your word. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord of lords, King of kings, Master of each and everything. Amen and amen. And amen means so be it. It is said, it is done. So anytime that you pray, and you pray, you make sure you always seal that prayer with amen. It means so be it done. And it's a way of saying, God, I trust you. My faith is in you. And talking about faith, we're going to go to the very elementation of faith in the scripture. We're going to go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I know many of you said, well, I've heard that scripture before talking about faith. Yes, you've heard it. But no, it's not just enough to hear. You have to listen. See, listening requires psychological discipline. It requires mental concentration and absorption of what is being projected and presented. You need to listen. See, when you listen to something, you'll put it into practice. You'll utilize it. It's like you use a screwdriver to tighten a screw. You'll take this word and you'll do something with it in your life, and it will provide scriptural and substantiating evidence that you are walking in a spirit of obedience. Because, see, without faith, you can't please God. You can give all of your goods to those who are in necessity. You can volunteer your time to those organizations that are necessitous of your presence, of your gift. You can do all the good in the world, but if you don't have faith, you can't please God. And this is an elementary requirement that God looks for in his children, his saints. Because Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So faith is a very important agreement, because without faith, you can't please God. You cannot receive the blessings of God. You can't receive the miracles of God. You can't receive the manifold and manifestations of his presence without faith. Faith is unmerited confidence based upon past, present, and futuristic aspirations. See, faith works right here and right now. It has a long-term future as well, but faith says, right now, Lord, I need you now. I need this done now. This has got to happen now. The 11th chapter and the first verse of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is the book that many people say, well, that's important for people that are of the Jewish lineage. No. The book of Hebrews is a very important, because don't forget, when we become believers in God, when we become converted, we become part of spiritual Israel. And what we have to understand is that we become in tune with the various factors of God's chosen. God chose the children of Israel, or people say the Jews. That means relevant for the house of Judah, not because of their ethnicity, but as I explained to you last week, he chose them because they were the only civilization at that time that believed in a monotheistic projection. And more simplistic terms, they were the only society that believed in the one God system. They believed in Elion, in Jehovah, Yahweh. You can use any of those translations. They refer back to God. They were the only civilization that believed in a one God system. The rest of the civilizations were polytheistic, which means that they believed in a multiplicity of gods. And as a result, they didn't receive the benefits of believing in the one God who created the heavens and the earth and everything within it contained. So this is why they became known as the chosen people of God. The 11th chapter, the first verse of the book of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance. Well, substance is the matter. Sometimes some substances you can see, and some things you can't see. Say, for instance, Gas is a substance. It's an aerial substance. You can't see it. But if you have it and you encase it within a tank, you can blow a balloon up with that helium. That's a form of gas. You can't see it, but it's a substance. It's there. So faith is based upon knowing that God is there. You don't see him in the physical realm of things, but you know that his power is at work. You can validate his existence. It is the substance of things hoped for. When you hope something, you're aspiring that's going to happen. You're excited. Oh, I just hope I pass that reading exam. That means I'm anticipating that, oh, I'm going to do great on that exam. So you're excited about it. For the evidence of things not seen. Now let's get back to this. Don't base your confidence on things that you see. Because why? What you see with your natural eyes is temporal. It has a certain time of duration or existence. Because anything that you can touch with hand is subject to be marred, which means impacted negatively, scarred, which means it has physical attributes of some degree of damage or wear or tear, and eventually it's going to expire or die. So anything that you have that you can put your hand on, it's subject to break, be destroyed, can get stolen, or else it can no longer work. Tell me that this isn't the truth. You might have paid $1,500 for that beautiful laptop computer 15 years ago. Oh, you paid so much money for it that time. You know, oh my goodness, this laptop, I got a good deal on it for just $1,500. It really was $3,000. Got it half price. You get up one day to go on to that technological system. You push the button for it to come on. Doesn't come on. You push it again. It doesn't come on. You start shaking it and flaking it and playing with it and kind of manipulating, monopolizing upon it. Then you're going to get it to somehow magically just boot up and you can use it. You turn around, none of that works. You have to call the technological provision person who provides you, the technician, and they tell you that your battery is dead or some other technological anomaly or breakdown has occurred and the system is either going to be repaired at an astronomical price or else you're going to have to replace it. The first thing you say, well, how much money I paid for it? How much money it was worth? It does not matter because anything that you can physically touch, feel, and see with your eyes is only but temporal. So don't put your confidence in things that are temporal. I don't care how much it costs you and you got a great deal of the century for. It is temporal. It will last only but a certain time. Only the things that you can't see are eternal. And the first thing people say, well, how do I know God exists? First of all, look at the sun that hangs in the sky. Tell me why that sun has never fallen to earth and consumed it by fire. There has to be a God. How is it that the rivers and the lakes and the streams have not all dried up after what they refer to as global warming? There has to be a God. You say that you doubt the sincerity and the existence and validation of God's presence? When you go outside, you feel the wind blow. Can you see the wind? You can't see the wind, but you can see the manifestation of what the wind does. The leaves turn over. And the winds are very strong. Storms can develop. That's right. Like hurricanes, they're considered as wind storms. Tornadoes come from winds. But the wind has no face, but you know it's there because you can feel it, and you see the aftermath of what wind can do. The same degree of revelation is reflective of God. He is the Spirit. He's there. You don't see him physically, but you can feel him. You can feel his presence. You can see the evidences of his presence. Just look in the sky and you can see the evidence of God's presence. And not based on that which you see. Again, don't put your confidence in things that you see. What happens a lot of times, we talk about, oh, I got faith, I got faith, I got faith. But then we're looking for visible examples to lean on and depend on. No, faith is based upon the invisible and the intangible, not based upon the tangible and the physical. Second verse, for by it, what is it? Faith. The elders obtained a good report. That means those who trusted God in times past obtained a good outcome. A report is an outcome. It's a confirmation of things that happened and the very summary of things that occurred afterwards. Third verse, through faith. Now here we said through. When you go through faith, that is the passageway. The passageway of faith. We understand that the world were framed by the word of God. And you know, Genesis said that God spake the existence of everything upon this earth through faith. Because he knew that when he spake, the elements had to obey. So when we operate in a system of faith, we're operating and trusting God, when we speak it through his name, in the name of Jesus as our authority, our passkey into the kingdom of heaven, God hears and he will cause that which you speak to come into physical existence through faith. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's right. We can say, oh, a seedling caused a tree, but no, where did that seedling come from? It came from God because God spake it into existence. Fourth verse. Now we went through faith. That's the tunnel. You go through something, you actually are in it. You experience. Now by faith, here we go. Sometimes you have to do things blindsided. You have to be blindsided and not look at anything physical to receive that from God that you desire and ask him for. He says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So let me explain that. See, Abel was a shepherd. A shepherd watches the sheep, manages the affairs of the sheep. And when the sheep stray away, they actually get the staff, the crook, and they take that sheep and bring that sheep back into the fold. Why? Because sheep are very domiciled. They're very gentle natured, and they're easy to stray off. And when they stray off, they can become very vulnerable to various menaces of society, whether they be of humankind or of animal kind. They are. So Abel, out of obedience to God, knew that at that period of time, that God would only give regard to a blood sacrifice. So what Abel did, he got his finest, his firstling, his finest sheep, and he sacrificed it unto God to please God. Cain, being a farmer or a tiller of the ground, in his process of time, that means when he got ready, he gave God the very manifold of his crops that he had at that time. He didn't say his finest. See, your mentality, your attitude projects your altitude. He gave God what he felt was right. He wanted to give God. And what happened? Well, God looked upon Abel and blessed Abel because Abel gave his finest. And the very elementation of time. Early on, Cain dragged his feet. He said he'd give what he wanted to give, when he wanted to give it, and how he wanted to give it. So Abel prospered, and he was blessed. And what happened? By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. See, your deeds, not always the character that you project, determines righteousness. And in the eyes of God, he was righteous because Abel had the right attitude, he was humble, and he wanted to please God. And the scripture tells us if a man's ways please God, he'll cause his enemies to be at peace with him. So he did so, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. That means what? Despite the fact that Cain slew Abel out of envy, out of the reaction of God's prosperity in his life, and he didn't receive what Abel received, God heard the very voice of Abel speaking to him from the ground. And what happened? God exiled. He cut Cain off. He sent him into the land of Nod and told him he would be a wanderer to the day he died. He wasn't going to allow anybody to kill him, but he would live the rest of his days for what he had done in suffrage. And he did. So Abel received the very blessings of God because he was obedient to God, and he gave God that which he required of him. See, when you give God what is required of him, acknowledgement, praise, obedience, God will take the most impossible situation and change it into your favorable circumstance, into your favorable situation. And you yourself will look at the situation and say, how did I come out of that? How was I delivered out of that? How did this come about for me and I couldn't see my way out? Because you use the institution of faith. Faith has to be a consistent and a persistent presence in your life to receive the miracles of God. The fifth verse, by faith, Enoch. And there were only two individuals who never saw death. Yes, that's right. Elijah, the prophet of the world, when God just took him up on the wind cloud and translated him and received him into the kingdom of heaven. And Enoch, whom we're about to read right now, never tasted death. So don't say, oh, everybody died. No, two people didn't. They never died physically. They were just taken up and translated. You know why? Because they pleased God. So God got so much glory from these men. By faith. Okay, here we go again. Enoch was translated. That means he was changed. That he should not see death. He didn't die. And was not found. Because God had translated him. Didn't I just tell you that? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. If you walk in obedience, trust God, praise God, pray to God, stay in communion with God, you will be pleasing as Enoch was. We all should have set that goal to be pleasing toward God. Even Abraham, he was so close to God, God called Abraham his friend. We know that God is our friend, but can God look at us and say that we're his friend? We should be desirous of those relationships that these men had with God so that we can receive the very benefits of his presence. Sixth verse. Underline the sixth verse is very crucial and important. But without faith, when you don't have a merited confidence in God, it is impossible to please him. You can't please God being in doubt. You can't please God being in fear. You cannot please God in walking one day saying you trust him, you love him, and you believe him, and the next day you're walking in doubt, fear, and disbelief. Because disbelief is a sin, whether or not you know it or not. It's a sin not to believe God. It's a sin. It's a form of first lying discreditation. All that we see as God has done in times past, and even we can look and witness now in times present with all the confusion going on, God has got his hand on his people. He's keeping us. He's protecting us. He's guarding us. He's providing for us. He's feeding us. He's counseling us. He's being a friend to us. He's being a companion to us. He's being family to us. He's being all these things. He's being our doctors. He's being our attorneys. He's being our safeguards. He's being our protector, our shield, our faith, our righteousness. He's being all of this to us. How could you not believe him? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So therefore, the scripture is telling us we have to trust God for everything. We have blessed provisions. We have things that are provided for us, that are substantial for us. We should thank God for them. And we should not allow what we have to dictate how we live. Don't let what we have dictate to us how we live. We need to speak from the area of spirituality, of having a true relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that I am blessed because I serve He that provides the blessing. I am prosperous because of He that provided me this prosperity out of His loving kindness and tender mercy. See, it all goes back to loving kindness and tender mercy. As none of us are so good that we deserve anything. None of us are great where we just say we're sitting on the top of the mountain, we in charge. We're not in charge of anything because one word from God, your circumstance can change right then and there. So we should be humble.
Remember those things.
And keep them in remembrance, lest at any time we should let them slip. We should maintain that mind of humility. See, the faith mind operates on the spiritual frequency and operates on the level of not who we are, but knowing who He is and what He, this He and whom I speak of, is God. Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we attain a relationship. We're connected back to God. Because none of our good is ever going to be good enough. None of our right is never going to be right enough. So Jesus Christ has to bridge the gap that separates us from God so that we can have the capacity, the advocacy to attain favor from God the Father. And this is where faith comes in. Without this, we can't please God. You can sit in the congregation all year long, but if you don't have faith, you're not pleasing God. You can give all of the necessities to those who are in need. You're not pleasing God without faith. You must have faith because faith generates all of the operatives of the other gifts. That's right. Faith is the foundational piece. You can't receive salvation without faith. You can't receive forgiveness without faith. You can't forgive others without faith. You can't operate in love unless you operate through faith because you know God is love. How do you know God is love through faith? You can't go around faith. It is necessitable. It is credible. It is a must-have. Seventh verse, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen. So what are we saying? By faith. That means this is the very foundation of my life. When I do things, I do it by faith. I do it based upon who He is and what He can do and what He has done in times past. Noah did the same thing. Noah didn't see the rain right then, but he knew that when God spoke to him, he knew that it was going to come to pass. He didn't know directly when, but he knew it was going to come to pass. Having not seen as yet, moved with fear. I mean, he wasn't petrified of God. He respected God. That type of fear of the Lord means the respect and the reverence that he had for God. He prepared an ark. That means he built an ark to the saving of his house. That means to his family. By that which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Again, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Noah walked by faith. He didn't know when the rain was coming. He just knew that it was coming. And he knew that he had to be prepared. And because he respected God and his word and his power enough that he spake unto him, he moved steadily and built that ark so that he, his family, and the two-by-two of the animal kingdom would be restored. Why? Because the restart of mankind had to emerge.
8th verse. By faith, here we go by faith again, Abraham, when he was called to go out in a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. That means when God spake to Abraham, he told him that he had selected him as a father of many nations and that through him the earth would be blessed, his children would be countless, boundless, and endless. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He didn't even know what he was doing. He just knew that God spake this. I have to do this because I trust him. And what happened? What happened? Let's see what happened. By faith. Again, you operated totally in it. When you do things by faith, you've denounced everything on the natural level. You see people that talk foolish and tell you, God ain't going to do that for you, you denounce them. You don't even hear them. You become deaf range to them. That means you can't hear them. You're deaf. You can't hear. You don't even accompany yourself with doubters, disbelievers that translate to be haters. You remove yourself from them because you're operating by faith. You're on a certain level of high frequency. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain, and this is what happened with Abraham. It says, he went. He sojourned in the land of promise and is in a strange country dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him of the same promise. That means that he garnered himself in connectivity with those who have the same mind to please God, to walk in the institution of God. And this is what faith will do. Faith will lead you to people who are receiving the higher level of association from God's word, who are walking in obedience, who want what's best in their lives and want to see the manifestation of greatness in your life. Faith will lead you that pathway. And this is what happened with Abraham. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, okay? Now he went by. Now here's through faith, his wife, Sarah, herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who he had promised. So what is scripture saying? Abraham was set in a place where God wanted him. Through faith, he received the wealth of a nation that would long hold in remembrance the existence of Almighty God. And at the same time, God didn't forget his wife because Sarah was a woman. She was 90 years old. Now, chronologically speaking, we know that when you're 90, you're far surpassed childbearing years, but through faith, because Abraham obeyed, his wife received divine favor from God because of his obedience to God. She also received the blessing of Abraham, her husband, and God opened her up. He opened her womb, and she conceived a child far past the years of conception. And the natural realm was thinking, see, faith defies everything from the natural realm. Because scientifically, if we were going to emerge and do research, we would say, this woman is not speaking truth. She's not believing that something truthful. This can't happen. Physiologically, it can't take place. A woman of that age specification could never conceive a child. But see, through faith, see, again, through faith, it defies every man-made explanation. There is no book knowledge. There is no level of education, knowledge, and association that can explain the impossible aspect of how those who operate in faith receive miraculous breakthroughs and intervention. This is why God wants us to operate in faith, through faith, and by faith, so that we can receive the manifestation of miracles. But these miracles take on a physical manifestation so that unbelievers, doubters, disputers, and even haters have to admit, I see it, but I don't believe it. Through faith. This is the reason why we've got to come back to faith. And we're going to pick up next week, and we're going to pick up and see where the elementation of faith takes us through the power of God's word. And we're praying and asking that God will allow our faith to just elevate to such a astronomical level that we see the very manifestations of God fall from the sky itself, so that we can give testimony that God does what he said he would do, and that his word will not return unto him void, but accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And we just thank and praise God for you today. And we're asking that God will strengthen you, will keep you, and continue to bless and prosper you in all that you do. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Motor City Mile, Ronnie, saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Have a blessed, productive, prosperous, and wonderful week. And by the way, I've got to give this special public service announcement. Make sure you tune in on Saturday. That's right, this Saturday coming up, June the 13th, we have a special, a Saturday afternoon special about race and racism, a community call to action, where we're going to go forth and we're going to pick up the pieces and we're going to move our society forward. And we're doing this by the enunciation and the power of faith. So don't forget, mark that calendar early on next Saturday, June 13th, 5 o'clock p.m. here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We'll see you then, and we're certainly going to see you on next Sunday on the 14th of June. And give God thanks for all things, for he is worthy of honor, he is worthy of glory, and he is worthy of all praise. Have a miracle-filled week. Oh, yeah.